Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, and through Sharing Change, MTE has contributed over $11 million to nonprofits here in our community assisting worthy causes. Learn more at sharingchange.org. Well, we're going to talk about the Rutherford County school system, and school board member Francis Rosales joins us here this morning. We've got a lot of great things to talk about. And well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Lots of things kind of swirling through my mind this morning, but I heard earlier today, this has just been an interesting week on some of our shows with a lot of people talking about growth, and I guess no one experiences more growth than the Rutherford County school system.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, we are growing. You know, this has been a topic of conversation every single time I meet with you. The topic of growth is one of the ones that we talk about, and we delve into it. It's just not stopping. It just is not. And what was unique about last year's growth is that we had a surge in migrants with kids that speak a second language. And so we are seeing growth, but we are also seeing a growth in our English as a second language population. Just to give you some quick backstory on where we're at with that. At the end of last year, we were at 6,000 or so students within that population. At the start of this year, of this fiscal year, the current school year, you want to take a wild guess where we're at? Just take a guess.
10,000.
You're a little bit high, but you were a little bit close. 8,000. Over 8,000 kids.
So that's an addition of 2,000 there.
That is an addition over two. Yes, absolutely. Just at the start of that. And the way that TESA works, as we talked about the formula and how schools get funded, is that it uses the previous year's enrollment numbers. And so even though we started out with an addition of 2,000 kids of ESL, it doesn't factor in those kids that started at the beginning of the school year, because our formula is looking at an enrollment of like 50,000 kids, and right now we are a little bit above 52,000, and that number does include the two charter schools that the Rutherford County Schools approved, not the charter school that the state approved. So we're seeing growth everywhere, and we're just busting at the seams.
Well, and the problem with that funding formula as well is that didn't take into account the charter schools either. And so where does that money come from?
Yeah, and that's a very sticky situation. And it's also a very emotional as well.
Sure.
Because everyone wants to do what's best for the kids. And we want to give parents the choice of choosing where to send their children. But at the same time, the funding formula when it comes to charter schools on year zero, what I call the year zero, that is the year that it starts. The enrollment numbers of those charter schools are not factored in within the enrollment numbers of previous years. And that's where the frustration comes into it, is because we're having to share the funding, which is really nothing but operational cost, and be divided amongst the other schools. I think for a lot of us, we want to give parents choice. I am one that wants to give parents choice. I believe that parents should make a decision of where to send their child to school, because they know best. However, we do have a lot of work when it comes to the funding side and how to even things out and make it a little bit of an even playing field. I did hear the governor 2 weeks ago say that in his budget that's coming up for the state legislation, if it passes — I don't know if it's going to pass or not, because it has to go through the legislation and have to agree upon it — but they're going to be focusing on adding funding for charter schools. What that looks like, I do not know. I'm not really sure what the details are, but they are, in my impression,
they probably don't know at this point, right? You know,
I mean, this early. They may not, but that is something that's going to be brought before the legislatures. So that's all the information I have that I can provide.
Something will have to be done on the state level,
absolutely,
though, for that funding formula to change, right?
Absolutely. Yes, because when it comes to state-approved charter schools, is very different than when it is a charter school that the school board approves. The relationship between those two entities is totally different. When you approve a charter school that is from the school side, like this is the school board is the authorizer. That means we're going to be the governing body over that charter school. So we have a little bit more of say-so into and providing more feedback of what, even into the enrollment numbers. How many numbers are we willing to say approve or not approve? And we can look into our funding to determine that. But when there comes to a state-approved charter school, the authorizer is not necessarily always going to be the school board, the LEA, because the state, if a charter school gets approved by state, state, they have, the charter school has an option to be authorized either by the state or by the school board. And if they choose the state, then the LEA is completely out of the feet of that whole thing, the relationship about how many can we approve to enroll and even provide opinions, feedback, all that whole nine yards.
But still the money has to flow through the county.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of unfair to not be able, because if the state for some reason said 10 new charter schools, well, then where does that money come from for that first year? So, I mean, that's
exactly.
An issue, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It is. It just puts a little bit of constraint when it comes to the funding aspect of it.
Maybe the state could fund them if they approve them.
Yeah,
maybe that's a way.
Yes. And I have been in conversations with the right key players up in the state in making that awareness of how can we make this an even playing field for everyone involved to meet the demands of the parents that want to give parents choice and not to take that away from them, but also providing the schools with the needing funding that they need and the resources so that their operational costs are not taking a hit over having to carve out that funding. And some, you know, and to that argument, some people will come back and say, well, it's a little bit of a pinch the first year, but this following year, you're going to recoup all that money back. Well, I will agree that's true.
But then you spend for that current year,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But at the same time, we're not taking into account the growth that the county is still happening. So like I just mentioned to you, we started this year with, just the ESL population, over 8,000 kids. Mm-hmm. Well, that's funding that was not accounted for within the previous year's budget. So with a fast growth county like ours, it's really difficult to manage this type of funding when you're continue to grow. If your numbers were stagnate, that wasn't growth, or the growth wasn't that impactful, then it wouldn't be as a hard hit for these other entities to come in and share the money pot. But when you're a county that is just growing year after year, by not just by the dozen, but over thousands of students, that's where the pinch comes in and takes into factor. And so it's a matter of educating folks and constituents out there to understand this piece of the funding, and also to provide feedback to our state legislatures and the right key players into helping us solve these complicated issues and trying to make everyone happy and still give parents what they want, which is parental choice.
So there was also this week here on the air, this morning, as a matter of fact, one of our county commissioners talking about funding and schools, and that there was a five-year plan for $750 million, $750 million, and you know, that would be used to build schools, I guess. And you know, everyone's searching for every penny that they can grab onto.
Yes, exactly. And you know, and the last thing that I believe the county commissioners want to continuously do is to continue to raise property taxes, because that's where they may feel that the only tool that they have in a box is to raise property taxes. I don't want my property taxes raised. Do you want your property taxes? Exactly. No one wants their property taxes. A lot of people are moving here because the cost of living is relatively low. When you compare our property taxes to other surrounding counties, I will name them, Davidson County, even Williamson County, we're fairly low. We may not have the biggest houses on the block. We're not meant to have a gazillion multi-million dollar homes like in Williamson County and Davidson County, but we're relatively inexpensive, a little bit affordable. It's still, you know, prices are high, but the cost of living is not the same as where you are living in different counties. So with all that being said, I have been trying for the past 2.5 years, figuring out creative ways of how do we generate revenue that we can use to towards these educate that can be applied towards educational needs. And 2 weeks ago, I believe, that I proposed a proposal on the agenda for us to start incorporating a foundation. And so this foundation, what it will do is that similar to what, and I took this playbook a little bit out of the Murfreesboro City Schools, so thank you very much for the idea, is that they have a foundation, and every year they have a big, I don't know if you call it a gala, where a lot of people come in the room and they're all dressed up nice and fancy. And it's just really to educate the community, the needs of the schools and the wants, and be a time where folks can get back into the community through monetary purposes. And so they're able to raise funding. And then through that, they use that funding for educational purposes. So we're going to be replicating this something similar to that and creating a foundation where it becomes a stream of revenue for us to add money to and apply and use that money to be applied towards these educational needs. It could be just as simple as money that can go towards buying a piece of land, or it can even go towards paying a portion of the construction cost of a new school. I don't know. We've talked about this in your show multiple times, how much it costs to build today. A high school, I was told the other day, is going to look around at the end, the total cost, close to $200 million. That's a lot of money that I cannot even imagine or fathom or wrap my head around.
And our newest high school, Rockvale, was what, around 80 to 90 somewhere?
Mm-hmm. So something that shows like you. That. Well, that cost is equivalent now to a middle school or elementary school.
Wow.
So inflation has gone up through the roof that now when you build a high school, it is double the amount of money than it was when Rockvale started. And that was what, in 2019, 18?
Right. It opened around, at 19.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's how much inflation has gone through the roof in just in a matter of what? Not even 6 years, 7 years?
Right. So,
I mean, crazy.
The City Schools Foundation, you mentioned that they have, you know, the night where they, you know, celebrate someone in education and just have, and that's one of their signature fundraisers. And they've done, you know, like a trivia night once. They're doing a pickleball tournament this year as other ways to raise money. And then the foundation, I guess it's set up as a 501c3 or something of that nature. So that you're looking at doing something similar, but maybe different in the way that funds are used. It's going to be a little broader brush, maybe.
Yes, it's definitely going to be a broader brush, and it's just going to be to the discretion. Obviously, the director is going to be guiding that of what those funds should be allocated. But really is for what needs we deem fit, whatever it is that we need those funding for to serve for those purposes. So it's going to include all of education, not a piece of something. It's just the whole thing. So I'm really excited about this. And so the board approved. So thank you so much to the board for supporting this agenda item and coming behind that. It was unanimous decision to start incorporating the foundation as a 501c3. I'm excited.
When did that decision come down? Was that this week? Last
no,
week?
No, that was the week before last. It was in October, the first week of October. Like, I believe is the 4th.
The 4th is a Friday. So.
Oh, so it's the 3rd.
Okay.
It was the 3rd, October 3rd. That's when we made that decision. And so I'm so excited about this. It's something that I've been working for the past 2.5 years. And so I'm just really tickled to death to be able to pursue something of this magnitude. And I know this is a very aggressive agenda to say we're going to start hoping to do something of a fundraiser of some type of caliber in August of 2025. So I'm hoping that in August of 2025 that we can have a fundraiser of where we can invite the community. And you're more than well. You'll be the first person to invite.
How about that?
To the fundraiser.
Will this foundation have like its own board, or will the foundation kind of fall under the school board? How will that work in terms of its organization?
Yeah. So those details are yet to be determined. And that's something that we're going to be determining as a board of how exactly that's going to be function. There's several options that we could do, but right now we're just looking at the legal perspective avenue of what we can do so that we can get this up and running and be functioning. So
there's a lot that goes into setting up a nonprofit and things of that nature. So
So those things are to be determined. But honestly, the biggest challenge is just to start the process, because the process itself is pretty lengthy. The paperwork is pretty lengthy. Have you ever tried to incorporate a 501c3?
No, but I can imagine.
Oh, it's a lot, because from experience in working with nonprofits, it takes a while to get this paperwork all sorted through and get the legal aspect of stuff. And just it's just a lot of work. And so if you're wanting to start something, implement something in 2025, then you've got to start today. So I'm just really excited that we are starting and getting the ball moving.
So the Rutherford County Schools Foundation, that's got a good ring to it, huh?
It does. That's exactly the name of it.
Well, how about that? So, well, Francis, thanks for coming in today. It's always fun to catch up with you. And anything we can do to help promote the school board, schools, the foundation, let us know, okay?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving us a time to speak about Rutherford County Schools.
Absolutely. Joining us today here on Rutherford Issues, Rutherford County School Board member Francis Rosales. And if you missed part of the conversation, it will be up shortly at WGNSradio.com. Just look under podcasts, then look for Rutherford Issues, or check us out on YouTube.